Howdy do, buckaroos. Welcome to the Mock Observer's Daily Observations podcast. Today is Thursday. It is the 17th of December. This is 2020. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. With me today, I have Dave Hamilton. Hi, Dave.
Hey, Kelly. Thanks for having me.
Glad you're here. Also with me today, I have Brian Chaffin. Hi, Brian.
Hey, Kelly. How are you?
I'm good. I'm doing all right, I suppose. I have the two of you here today to talk about a very interesting topic because it's a thing that continues to evolve and, in fact, is probably changing as we record this. And that is Apple versus Facebook, or Facebook versus privacy, or however you want to set this up. Here's the deal. Apple takes user data and the privacy of that data, or at least the transparency about what's happening to that user data, very seriously. And Facebook is really mad about it. And so yesterday, there was a full page ad in the New York Times that Facebook took out in order to try to make themselves look good and escalate this battle that they've been having with Apple about it. That seems like about where we are.
That's where we are. That's where it's at.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, I'm not gonna be able to read this to anybody with a straight face, but some of the highlights from this full page ad in yesterday's New York Times, the headline is, "We're standing up to Apple for small businesses everywhere."
Oh my God.
Yeah. I'm gonna stop reading now. And Brian, it seems like you might have some thoughts about this.
Well, I do. I think.
Tread carefully. I don't want to have to edit.
Repeatedly said, I've already had to try to be very careful. I've repeatedly said that Mark Zuckerberg does not have the wisdom to wield the power he has amassed, and that like the big difference between other young tech CEO juggernauts like Steve Jobs or Bill Gates is that their power did not extend so intensely into our personal lives, unlike, say, Facebook. Mm-hmm. And this is just one of this is one of these examples. I mean, it smacks of the same incredible hubris as Eric Schmidt talking about, you know, how like they were standing up to Facebook for, you know, turning the internet into a walled garden, or and Facebook's similar but different complaints about Apple for doing the same thing. I mean, like, this sanctimonious standing up for our right to have our privacy invaded is just, personally, I find it beyond infuriating.
Mm-hmm.
Can I offer some context here?
Sure.
I am 100% with you, Brian. This is disingenuous, right?
But at Facebook, best.
Right. I'm being kind. Yeah. But Facebook isn't wrong in that they are talking like their platform has some merit. I want to make it clear, I'm not here to defend Facebook, but I'm here more to put context on this so that people understand why is Facebook even saying what they're saying. We're standing mm-hmm. up to Apple for small businesses everywhere. What in the world? Why in the world would they choose this platform? And it's because they can actually stand on this platform. What they're talking about are small businesses that are local businesses where the ability to target your ads, and it doesn't have to just be local businesses, but it's a good example. The ability to target your advertising in a very hyper-focused way to exactly the right customer who wants the right thing is for businesses that are brick and mortar or otherwise, you know, regionalized, you know, in the right locale, all of that it allows these businesses to target that way inside of Facebook because Facebook gathers all sorts of data. They intuit lots of other data and they build user profiles. You know, when people say, oh, I don't want to give my Facebook my birth date. It's like, they already have it.
They have it now.
Like, don't worry about it. You know, in fact, Facebook even has profiles for people that aren't on Facebook based on what their friends say about them. Mm-hmm. Right. So all this stuff exists and it's super creepy. And I am super happy that Apple's doing what they're doing, but this is why Facebook is saying we're standing up for small businesses, because as it currently stands, the advertisers that are benefiting most, one group of advertisers that is benefiting a lot, I don't want to say they're benefiting most, one group of advertisers that is benefiting a lot from Facebook's ability to offer hyper-targeted ads are those small businesses, because they don't have the money to spend hundreds of thousands or even millions of dollars on a, you know, national branding campaign, right, or even a national direct response campaign. All the ads you hear on this podcast are targeted by content. Someone mm-hmm. knows what the content of this show generally, not this episode, but this show is, and chooses to be on this show. That's as far as the targeting goes, because we don't allow any of the podcast specific types of targeting that do exist that are out there. Apple's podcast app doesn't point these out, but if you listen on Overcast, it will tell you which of the podcasts you're listening to are tracking you and targeting you. We can go into that in a whole different time. But these are the businesses that are currently leveraging this. If this goes away, it's still a level playing field, right? Mm-hmm. So no business gets to, it's not, this doesn't actually hurt small business. It just forces them to adapt. And let me tell you something, as a small business owner, every small business owner already knows how to adapt. It's why they're able to be small business owners. So they'll figure it out.
It's how they're still small businesses. It's because we figure how to ride around, right? Like,
especially this year, right?
Like, if you have a small business right now, you've figured something out that is working for you. What that is, everybody.
Most likely you've made a series of mistakes. One of them actually worked out to your benefit, at least one of them, and you're still in good shape.
One of them is a smaller mistake than the others. That could be as simple as that.
Yeah, on the small business show, we like to call mistakes our tuition. It's how we learn. It's okay. Yes. They're good. Yeah, it's fine.
I think the part of this that stands out to me, and we'll dig into the Apple side of this in a minute, but the part of this that stands out to me is, I feel like what this is underlining is that Facebook is everywhere and everyone's on Facebook because everyone's on Facebook. And this ad drives home to me is how big a part of everybody's lives Facebook is, that Facebook feels comfortable going around saying it's going to be the end of the world if we don't get to do this because we are such a big deal. And that's the part to me that's interesting.
Well, to take what you just said, that Facebook is such a part of everyone's lives, I think it's more, that is not incorrect, but for this conversation, I think it's more accurate to turn that around and say how much our lives are a part of Facebook's business model.
That's what I mean. Like,
turning that around a little bit. This is the problem, is they have built their business up with us as the product that they are selling to their customers, and specifically us, very specific details about us. It's not just like, hey, we have these users, here's the content that they're looking at on our site, you might want to advertise to people that are looking at that type of content. That's how we do it at the Mac Observer. That's how we do it on these podcasts, right? But Facebook takes it way deeper. It's like, you can target that particular human, and here's all the information we have about it. Well, they might not share the information because that would be a huge breach, and B, that's intellectual property.
I will put a link in the show notes to a guy who weaponized Facebook ads to basically hassle his roommate. Like, he filed it down to, you know, an ad audience of one and was putting ads on Facebook that were just showing up on his roommate's feed. and it's really entertaining, but also like it's absolutely within the bounds of what you can do with the system. He was just a little more creative in applying it than some people were.
That's really funny. I mean, it's sort of funny.
It's very funny. And then you get to the end and you're like, wow, it's really terrifying. This is a thing that can happen. But it was very funny to read.
I guess parents, if you want to get your kids' attention, maybe just target them on Facebook.
That might work. I do want to talk about the Apple side of this, but first I want to talk about our sponsor this week. Just for a minute, our sponsor this week is BetterHelp. They will assess your needs and match you with your own licensed therapist. You can talk to their counselors safely online, and you can even get started with them in less than 24 hours. And this isn't a self-help system. This is professional help from licensed counselors. BetterHelp wants you to have a great therapeutic match, so it's easy and free for you to change counselors if that's what you need to do to find the right person. You can send a message to your counselor at any time, or you can set up a confidential appointment. It can be a video chat, or it can just be a phone call. There's no awkward waiting room situation to worry about. And you can listen, you can talk to a counselor who specializes in, they have counselors for all kinds of issues, depression, grief, LGBT, anxiety, trauma, and lots more. Now, as my listener, you get 10% off your first month if you go to betterhelp.com/TDO. That's BETTERHELP.com/TDO. BetterHelp.com/TDO gets you 10% off your first month of counseling. And we'd like to thank BetterHelp for sponsoring the show. Now, the Apple piece of this is the part I'm also interested in, because one of the things that I think we see a lot is people talking about how Tim Cook brought privacy to Apple, and that this is a Tim Cook initiative, and that this is the direction that Tim Cook has taken the company. And I'm reasonably certain that's not true.
you are correct. The Loop this morning linked to a video, a snippet of a video. It's 3 minutes and 18 seconds, and it's well worth your time to go and watch that after you finish listening to this episode here. It's a conversation, a snippet of a conversation that Steve was interviewed by Walt Mossberg and Kara Swisher at the D8 conference 10 years ago in 2010. And he explains in great detail Apple's reasons for privacy and their actions taken to protect the privacy of their users. And it's true.
The underlying philosophy too.
Yeah.
Like the sort of fine, if you want to do this, referring to companies that are collecting your data, do it, but ask. And I think he says, ask every time and ask them so often that you make them mad and, tell you to stop asking.
Yeah. I did at the top of the clip, they all go, "Hi, Mark," because Zuckerberg is there, which I thought was kind of funny.
They do hat tip Zuck. Yeah.
Kara's like, "Oh, he's here. Hi, Mark." You mentioned, Brian, the philosophy of it. I wrote it down because I wanted to make sure I quoted it exactly. And they ask about how you're going to have privacy if stuff's happening in the cloud. And one of the things that Steve says is, in short, we don't let the apps say they're going to use your location data. We make the app ask us for it so that we can tell the user, this is what's happening with your location data, because the app may or may not follow the rules. And then he says, privacy means people know what they're signing up for in plain English and repeatedly. And that's where he gets to, you ask them again and again so that they know what's happening to their data until they tell you to stop asking. And he says, let them know precisely what you're going to do with their data. Which is a much nicer way of putting it than what we usually say on Security Friday, which is like, this is why we're telling you this. It's just so you know. What you do with it is up to you, but we want to make sure you have all the information.
And Apple has consistently, at least publicly, and through the actions that we can see, followed that since then. I think it was the day we were trying to figure this out. I think it was Tim Cook, who first said that we think that privacy will become a competitive advantage. I don't think that was Steve. I think that was Tim.
Certainly publicly. Yeah. Tim has been the one that gets credit. It probably, I think, appropriately so, for really leveraging that. Although, you know, there's, looking back at this clip of Steve's, it's obvious that he sees this as a benefit for Apple's users, which is then a benefit, you know, like the seeds of this are definitely there in what Steve is saying back 10 years ago. But you're right. Yeah, Tim has been the one that really has taken Apple forward with the PR message of privacy is a feature. This is something that you want, some of you at least want, in your devices. And you should know that you're buying things that have privacy as a feature versus things that do not. You know, so yeah, I would agree. Tim gets that
privacy credit. Is a human right is the bit that I remember Tim saying more than one time.
Yeah, so, he has said that a lot. Yeah. But to Dave Mark's point,
thanks for that video, by the way, Dave. Hi.
Gonna put this in slightly different terms, but what Apple has been doing under Tim is in fact building on this foundation that Steve Jobs articulated.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah.
So this is not a recent invention on Apple's part. And Kelly, you said something about Steve saying that we've been doing this on the Mac since 2003.
I did not. I think
who said that? I was in the meeting.
It was Charlotte.
It was Charlotte
Henry in our staff meeting today. Said she had gotten in touch with someone in Apple PR, asking about something.
Yeah,
yeah. And they reminded her that this is not new. We've been doing this on the Mac in Safari since 2003.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, and one reason why the sanctimoniousness, or what I see as the sanctimoniousness of Apple and of Facebook and Google taking some of the angles that they've taken on this is that their business model is predicated on making us a product, and Apple's business model is not. Mm-hmm. And Apple's stance is actually trying to protect us, and Facebook in this case is trying to protect Facebook under the guise of protecting small businesses.
I would go slightly further and say that Facebook's default stance is what's good for Facebook, and it's never been we're doing this because it's good for users. I go back to the part when I don't remember what the pithy comment was from Zuckerberg about it, but it was, if you go somewhere, your location sharing is on by default so that it's easier to check in on Facebook so that Facebook has even more data about you or whatever. And it was on by default when they started letting you do, like, I'm at this place for whatever. And I don't remember what it was he said about it, but it was sort of like he didn't understand that there were people who maybe wouldn't be interested in this. And not even from a privacy perspective, but like because it was the thing that he wanted to do with Facebook, he didn't understand that there were people who might have a different stance. And like, I find a lot of Facebook's moves baffling, and I think it might just be because I apparently have a very different view about what should happen to my data than Mark Zuckerberg does.
He doesn't have the wisdom to wield the power he's amassed.
Right. And wisdom comes from age and time and things that he does not have. And, you know, it's not, I don't think it's any more complicated than that really at this point. So yeah, I don't.
He hasn't had a big failure that, you know, Steve Jobs definitely did, right? He got ousted. It's several of them, in fact.
I'm like, just, you know, the one, Dave. Yeah.
Back to my comments about mistakes, right? They are our tuition.
Right.
And we haven't seen Zuck have that big of a stumble with the company yet.
Right.
I'm certain as a human, he has had plenty of failures, as we all do. But yeah, he you know, wisdom, the one element of that that's sort of been skipped is experience. And he doesn't seem to have the experience of a business that does anything but go up, 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 up.
And he's been also rewarded at every turn for his stances.
And a business that like maybe was not his, or you know, where what was happening was not ultimately his decision. Like he's never worked any, he's never worked for anybody. I mean,
yeah, but that would have been true of Steve Jobs too. I mean, ish.
Sort of. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, it's an interesting, it's going to be interesting. Like I said, there's probably been more developments in this just in the 20 minutes we've been talking about it here. I definitely recommend going and watching the video. There will be a link to it in the show notes.
Who wins this PR battle between two tech giants with both of whom essentially have infinite money? Effectively infinite
that's
money.
True.
Who wins this particular battle?
You know, I don't know, because I was going to say, well, it would come down to what do I give up, Facebook or my iPhone? And I think that's a harder question for a lot of people and than Facebook it is for me.
Facebook is pitching Apple as the bad guy and Apple is pitching privacy as the good guy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think Facebook wins this because Apple is, they have, you're right, they have a lot of money. They don't have all the users. Facebook has way more users than Apple does. Android has way more users than Apple does. And mm-hmm. people have already made this vote. It's people, you know, we all suffer from getting entrenched. And if we've learned one thing in 2020, it's that.
yes.
I'm not convinced that Apple will be able to sell enough of the public on privacy as a desired feature mm-hmm. such that it will work. I mean, I don't think it means that Apple loses, right? Like Apple's already won for the people that have bought into the privacy as a feature. We all use that like Facebook's not going to cause us to change our minds about that, back to that entrenchment. But,
yeah.
You know, I don't think Apple is going to win this unless there's some regulations that come out of it. And that is something that I think we will start to see more of is that kind of regulation. I mean, all of the stuff that we do and the stuff we've been doing here at the Mac Observer for, you know, 22 years or whatever it is, has fallen outside of any regulation for the most part. Mm-hmm. And I think that will change. I mean, we've seen, you know, GDPR in Europe and the CCPA or whatever it is in California and all that stuff. So, you know, and we are subject to that. So like it's happening slowly, but only very, very recently. So I think there will be more of mm-hmm. that. It'll be interesting to see how that settles in. Yeah. With this Apple v Facebook thing.
And I think there's a certain percentage of this that like every time something like this happens and every time Facebook goes out there and goes, oh, poor us. Oh, it's so sad that this is a thing that's happening. It also sort of gives people the chance to go like, why is this bad for Facebook? And like have that conversation. And I feel like because I'm an optimist, I feel like every time this conversation comes up, there's a few more people that go, yeah, I really don't need that in my life and delete Facebook. You know, it's not going to be enough for concerning quarterly reports or anything like that. But I like to think that it continues to erode their user base as people get reminded over and over and over again what it is people are what Facebook is doing with people's data. I said I like to think, Brian, let me have this one.
No.
Please.
I'm sorry.
There's so little in 2020 I can hold on to. Come on, give me this one. All right, that's going to do it for us today. I would like to know your thoughts about Facebook or Facebook v. Apple as it stands in this case. Definitely let us know. Observations at MacObserver.com, TMO Daily on Twitter, and comments in the show notes. Thank you both, Dave and Brian, for being here. I'm your host, Kelly Gamont. I will talk to all of you tomorrow. In the meantime, be excellent to each other and let's be careful out there.